Mark, how are you?
Pretty good, Tony. Thank you for having me aboard this morning.
How many people are currently members of the AFL-CIO in Michigan?
Active members, about 350,000. Other union members not affiliated with our federation, another maybe 200, 300,000, including the MEA, Michigan Association of Michigan Education Association.
What's your take on what you have seen occur in Madison, Wisconsin, and here in Lansing?
Well, look, you don't need to fix budgets by taking away collective bargaining rights. You fix budgets if there's a unionized workforce by sitting down and negotiating changes. We do that thousands of times. We've been doing that in Michigan for almost a decade, here and there, and we do it almost every negotiation over health care costs. Now, they've done that in Wisconsin as well. And as a matter of fact, if you've been watching the news, the unions in Wisconsin have offered to that governor to agree with him on the cuts that are needed and make up the through concessions the shortfall. The governor refused. In my mind, that proves what's going on over there. It's an attack on unions. It's an attack on working people's collective bargaining rights. It's an attack on public workers. That is unfortunate and very political.
What that Wisconsin governor is saying, as well as other legislators around the country, is that collective bargaining needs to be taken away so that local municipalities will have the flexibility to make the cuts they need to balance their budgets. How would you respond to that?
Well, again, that municipality picks up the phone, calls their union, and says the budget isn't balancing. Labor costs are a big part of our, simply because we hire people to plow the roads, et cetera, a big part of our budget. Come on in here and talk about how we can make this budget match. We say, as unions, we'll be there. And we've done that over and over throughout the last few years. We expect, unfortunately, because we're coming out of the recession, to keep doing it for a little while. It's not good. The workers don't appreciate it or enjoy it, but they know it needs to be done.
Mark, there is the perception out there by many in the public that the union is a five-letter bad word, that union folks are money-hungry, gathering these sweet benefits, these sweet perks, these sweet insurance benefits, and they don't work much. And I thought that perception had gone away with the 80s and 90s, but it's still out there.
It's still out there because Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and the rest of them are repeating it over and over. It's not true. We have six studies. Go to our website, you'll see them. Six studies that show when you consider education and what the job is, that public sector workers are paid about the same as private sector workers. In some case, the public sector is behind. Look, this whole assault, this whole attack is because, number one, there are real budget concerns. There are real budget concerns coming out of the recession. And number two, it's good politics for conservatives and right-wingers. Let me tell you a quick joke. There's a CEO, a union member, and a Tea Party guy sitting at the table. There's a box of a dozen donuts. The CEO takes 11 of them. And as he gets up and leaves, he says to the Tea Party guy, "Watch out, that union guy is going to want that last donut." Okay? That's what's going on here.
Well, let's talk about unions in general. I want to learn here. Do we need unions today the way we did when unions were first organized back in the 20s and 30s?
Sure, of course we do. Now, the need has shifted a bit. There's still plenty of dangerous work sites. There's still plenty of work sites where the bosses want too much work out of the people. Workers have family lives. Workers have other things that are important to them, too. And workers still need a voice at work. Look, nobody knows more about the job than that person on the job, be that a nurse or a snowplow driver. And so smart managers say to their workers, "What do you think?" Well, not all managers say that. And so having a union provides people with the ability to have that voice. People in non-union places need unions because we're the ones fighting in the legislature to keep an ergonomic standard, keep workers safe. We're the ones fighting in the legislature for MyOSHA, keep workers safe. When our wages go up, other people's wages go up. So, yeah, I would tell you that the overall economy needs unions to be a balance in the economy, and individuals need unions, first, to have a voice, second, to have a safe work site, third, to get their fair share of what's being produced.
Wouldn't the open market, and I'm not saying this as a proponent of this, but would the open market dictate what someone gets paid if there wasn't a union?
Well, it would. And so you see, you're one person against a multinational corporation. You know, there's an awful lot of companies out there that have 80,000, 200,000 employees. If you're one of them without a union, my you know, good luck. So sure, banding together, bargaining as one for hundreds, if not thousands of people, makes sense.
You still think that would happen in 2011?
It does. It happens all over the world, of course, and it happens in America, and it happens in Michigan. Of course it does.
Any recent stories you can tell me?
Well, I'll tell you. We've got these porch drivers who drive containers. You see that on any highway, that container that sits on the back of a truck. Those guys wait hours, sometimes half a day, sometimes a whole day, to get that container. They're not paid for that waiting time. And so, yeah, it goes on all the time. Any way that corporations can work their workers more productively or harder, corporations do. Well, workers need a voice in that.
Mark, do you think it's fair that folks don't have, in many instances, don't have an opportunity to say, no, I need every dime I'm making, I don't want to be a part of the union?
Oh, look, you're talking about union dues. Union dues end up being about 17 cents an hour. It takes us about a year to get a 17 cent an hour raise to cover the cost of the union dues. So I personally don't buy that argument. It's such a small part of the wages, and again, the union got a raise years ago to cover it. It's a good investment.
Should union funds be used to endorse candidates and push political agendas?
Union funds are used in political ways to educate our members. The bulk of what we do here at election time is mail and flyers and phone calls and door knocks to our members to tell them about the issues and about the candidates. If you give money to candidates, that has to be separately raised. That's not union dues.
What's it make you think, Mark, when you think back to when many unions were first organized and the trials and tribulations that they went through to do that, and then when you see how folks are trying to take that away?
Well, it's on one level, it's sad, right? On the other level, it's very disappointing to see some people say, well, that's not our fight, that's just parochial, it's just unions and their members. Clearly, that's not what's going on in Wisconsin. There were 100,000 people around that Capitol over the weekend. Those are not all union members. Many, many of them are young people saying, I want the choice. I want to be able to join a union. I don't want unions to go away. I see they provide a balance in the economy. So the important thing here is that folks understand much of what unions fight for is for their members, but there's a direct benefit to non-union people as well. And you mentioned politics. And yes, unions tend to be closer to one party than the other. But if you do away with unions and you do away with that one party, you end up with what? One-party rule. That's what people across the world are demonstrating and working against.
Mark, I want to get your take on what's going on in Wisconsin as many legislators on the Democratic side have fled to Illinois to avoid some votes on what's going to happen there. You've got all these union people that...
I'm on with another one.
You've got all these...
Come back with the messages, please. Go ahead.
Last question, Mark. I know you need to run because of other obligations, but you've got all these union people in Wisconsin freezing and fighting and getting the word out, yet those legislators have turned and ran and went to Illinois. Shouldn't you stand and fight, or is that the proper thing that they should do, just walk away?
No, they're not walking away, and they're not running away. What they did is they said, we have a voice. We're 14 senators. You have to listen to us. You can't run this legislation as if we don't even exist. And so they are staying out of that capital, out of that state, to deny a quorum so the Senate cannot do its business. Now, those 14 will come back in a minute as soon as that governor says, I'm going to take your viewpoints, you're the other party, you may be the minority party, but I'm going to take your viewpoints into consideration as we finish off this legislation. That governor has not said that. So they haven't run away. They're taking a stand.
And Mark, as we let you go, I know it is a bit stressful, but fascinating times we live in.
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating times, and you're seeing this all across the Midwest, and you're seeing it a bit in New England, New Hampshire, Maine, and that's how come you know that it's a nationwide attack by the right wing and that a lot of this stuff is largely political.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.